It is March 29th, 2021. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. I'd already cracked the top off of my A&W Zero root beer. What are you Ooh. Sipping on tonight, Kevin?
I have Woodinville bourbon.
Is that different than Woodford Reserve?
Yeah, it's definitely different.
What's better? What's a higher quality bourbon?
Both. I mean, a lot of people like Woodford. Obviously, it's been around forever. Woodinville's kind of a newer one that's come out over the past year or two. This one's out of Washington State. So, yeah. I dig it, though. And then I've got some out of our own backyard here, Treehorn Cider out of Marietta. So.
Oh, very nice. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, to the right. We are without Dan James tonight.
He's upset that Birmingham lost. I don't think he realizes it was the other one that he thought it was. I think he got confused. I think that's what.
Yeah,
it was.
No, it's a fair assessment. I did too. Yeah, I got a text from a buddy in Birmingham yesterday at the game. He's like, at the Atlanta United game. I was like, oh shit, that was today. I was like, yeah, 0-0. And I was like, it looks like we were stifled by former Atlanta United great Anderson Asiedu on the pitch yesterday. So is what it is. Thank you guys for joining us for another show on a lovely Monday evening. This is episode 141 of this series. Over the course of the past 4 years, we really do only do it mostly during the season. We do some off-season stuff, some fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The past it just depends year on... has been weird. But
yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, it's beyond weird.
So for you, speaking of last year being weird and now that things are getting back into the swing of things, I guess first and foremost, we as season ticket holders did get an update this past week about another opt-in or opt-out for season tickets and attendance now that I guess vaccines are going up. They're talking about limited attendance. It's not going to be full capacity. What are your thoughts right now on how you guys will be proceeding? I feel like I know which way you're leaning towards. But
yeah, so Angie and I are both vaccinated. Well, we've both started the vaccination process. We're not fully charged like you. but yeah,
it's
survey
okay
that
except
went
for
out,
the tail.
No, for sure. But
and even that, it depends on the day. Sometimes it comes in handy.
Hey, full moon hits, you turn into a big great ape. Yeah,
exactly, man.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. You really go with a bow staff now too. So
absolutely.
The survey that went out was two questions. Essentially, it was: would you be willing to come back if there was capacity for fans? And you know, social distanced seating, right? And then question two was, or maybe that was part of question two. Question two was, would you be willing to relocate if you were put up in the 200 section or something like that? So not to get too into, we said yes and no to question one and then no to question two.
Yeah,
we don't necessarily want to relocate, but also don't know what that credit means. Like it sounds like it was very oddly worded, right? Like where it was, how much of a credit are we getting? If we don't go back, do we just move the entire credit from last year that got moved to this year onto next year? Because that seems like the fair thing to do, right? Because we haven't even got to sit in our seats.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see if anybody from the trap knows anything. So I actually haven't answered it yet because of that. I need to reach out to my ticket rep to find out, because that's my exact thing. Like I'm fine potentially sitting out again this year if it means it's going to get credited to next year, like we did this year. But I don't want to say that and then all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't transfer over or I still have to pay more or something. I don't know how all that shakes out logistically or financially. So.
Yeah, no, it's tough because, and what sucks too is we upgraded our seats from the year prior from whatever 20, what would that be now? 2019, we upgraded and got a little better seats for 2020. Our anniversary weekend fell the first home game, and then that was essentially the only home game that we had, and we didn't get to be able to enjoy experience for the first time. Experience. Yeah. That's the word that I was looking for.
That's the only reason why I'm here.
Yeah, no, exactly. Correct me. Thank you guys for joining us on this Monday evening. We got Richard Gordon, Brittany S, and Andres Castro in the trap right now.
Unfortunately, we did not do a big job of promoting the show this week. It was honestly kind of last minute today. We were all kind of talking about, can we do a show? And, you know, Dan couldn't make it this week, and hopefully he can get on next week. I'm not going to be able to make it next week. So it was just kind of like, well, we'll at least get on and talk about what the ongoings have been. And true to form.
Steven Corrales is joining the trap. Good to see you guys. I haven't seen Andres Castro in forever. Where you been? It's been a long time.
Can always count on Brittany S, though. Always. Yeah, no, always. For sure. MVP.
Is it any coincidence that it's Barco's birthday and the boat got dislodged from the Suez Canal today?
What?
It's like a happy boat day, right? I mean, Barco,
I have no
boat.
Idea what you're talking about. I have
the
no
Suez,
idea.
You don't know anything about the whole, like, the saga
no
with
idea
the
what you're talking about.
The entire, like, the world, the Western world supply chain got completely jacked up because somebody got stuck sideways in the Suez Canal.
I think I saw a meme about it, but I don't know about it.
Oh my God.
Explain it to me like I'm five.
I can't with you right now. Okay. Mommy and daddy give you a lemonade. Give you $10 for a lemonade stand.
So wait, what happened? What pipeline? I know what the Suez Canal is. So a boat got stuck in it? Like one of the freighter ships?
Like a gigantic ship went sideways and got dislodged. Like it's like whenever I toss a Dorito to Pirlo and it goes like vertical, and it gets stuck, lodged between the roof of his mouth and his tongue, and he can't move it.
I do that with Cheetos sometimes, and they just happen to get stuck in between my teeth. Like, oh no!
or the Rugrats episode.
So seriously, what happened? Like, were things legitimately like shorted? I didn't notice anything that's been run out. What ran out?
No, I don't know. I don't know if we've necessarily seen the effects of it yet. It was a week ago, so I don't know like what got delayed, but nothing could get in and out. They had to go around Africa.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Richard Gordon said it was the length of the Empire State Building.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he says, I don't. So speaking of Richard Gordon, he says, I don't have season tickets, but I buy group tickets and then still have my money. So I have, I may just roll it over till next year. I wouldn't mind going to a few games, but it's tough with the little ones.
Yeah. I mean, that's my thing too, right? Like, I feel like, I guess my issue is it just seems like all or nothing. Like, is this going to be the plan for the whole season? You know, is it going to be that for a couple of games? Like, I don't know enough to answer the question. Like, if it means, okay, I opt out, but that means I'm not going at all this season. But then somehow, you know, in July or August, whenever things we hope and expect vaccines and stuff to be back to normal, all of a sudden attendance goes back to normal, but I've opted out. So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how far that stretches, if it's for the whole season or just while they're doing limited capacity or what. Like, I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, it's tough. And whether or not season ticket holders are going to get penalized for not showing up.
Right.
And the other thing is, like, are you going to have to show your vaccination card?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing, I think, moving forward.
I don't know that they can mandate something like that, though.
And I
like,
I mean,
legally, I think that's a slippery slope.
Because everybody's
because businesses can't even mandate that people get the vaccine right now. So or wear masks. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they can do that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy though? I mean, start of baseball season is Thursday, right? It starts on the 1st. Braves are opening up with limited attendance. And I was talking to somebody today that was like, oh, well, you know, I really want to go to a game and at least they're doing limited attendance. So I figured I'd check and see what ticket prices are. And for the upper tier at the Braves stadium, it was like $150 a ticket. It's like, you have got to be kidding me. Like for the upper deck for a Braves game
per ticket for opening day,
which normally you can get in the door for $25. Like it's $150 a ticket right now.
Well, now they're a very good team. They have a great young base,
but I think it's also a big supply and demand. Yeah, big supply.
There's a supply demand thing, and then you also have, I think, part of it, and maybe this gets put into the supply demand bucket, but you're looking at a year of lost revenue that they're trying to somehow recoup, and they just have that brand new, not brand new, but what, this is the third year in the stadium, fourth year in the stadium.
So that you mentioned a good point there, which I hadn't even thought about until just now, which is, do we expect to see substantial price hikes in Atlanta United season ticket prices next year? Because there's been a lag in what they didn't receive last year. Like they were fine to do the right thing and like push everything over to 2020, but they're going to have to make that money back somehow. And we've seen a consistent trend in season ticket prices inching up year over year. Do we expect to see a massive price hike going into next year?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that, because I mean, Uncle Arthur's great, but I can't imagine he's just going to sit and absorb the loss or the cost for everything moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. I was thinking about it today. I was wondering if there's still a wait list for season tickets. And if there is, like how long that wait list is anymore after the Frank DeBoer seasons. I know that I think it diminished a little bit, or maybe enough people backed out of season tickets that they had to start backfilling that wait list. So I was wondering what that looks like. But Stephen Perales is asking if there's a large turnout in Birmingham. I do know a handful of people that went. It seemed like there were a decent amount of Atlanta United fans, I think, but not 100% positive, to be honest.
I got a feeling in any capacity that Atlanta opens up, there's going to be a fan base there. Like it's not like it's going to be an empty stadium. I think it's just a challenging question and proposition for season ticket holders on how they're going to manage that, you know, and that it seems like it's an all or nothing deal. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. We were talking to, on Saturday, we were talking to Dave Williamson, photographer who shoots a lot of soccer here. And he was telling us that the UCL game, or not UCL, sorry, CCL game up at Kennesaw is going to be, I think, 1,000. So it was like 15% attendance.
Yeah. And I saw that they were holding a certain amount of those tickets for season ticket holders or something like that. I had seen an article.
Yeah. That's what he was saying, was that we should have gotten a notice or something like that to reserve those tickets. But I have not. But I'm wondering if that has to do with the way that we answered the survey.
Yeah, I could have swore I saw something. I don't know what it was, but yeah. So speaking of news and CCL,
Brian was saying 1,500 for the.
That's what I was about to say. It was 1,500.
I'm glad Brian's here to correct me. It feels weird not having to be checked and put in my place. So
it's weird. You had a festival this past weekend, and I don't even think that you saw Brian. So something's definitely not right
there. It's very weird. Yeah, it's very weird that Brian didn't just show up and hang out with us. Chat Seltzers.
So CCL's coming up. We did get another signing confirmed as of today on MLS, but I think 2 days ago Heinze had confirmed the signing of,
not too subtly, it was like, yeah, he signed weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Alan Franco, who I believe tested positive for COVID as soon as he entered the country, and he's been in quarantine kind of training by himself. So hopefully he'll be out of the woods and I don't know, whatever the time frame is, what, 10 days usually, something like that. But we've seen I'm trying to think of who it was in there was a player for Inter Milan, I think. Or no, it was for Juve, Pablo Dybala, who I think tested positive, I don't know, something like 3 months straight. It was a couple months straight. So I think it's just kind of weird. I don't know anybody in the trap that's had COVID. I don't know if you'd be willing to.
Well, AJC put out an article earlier today that I guess the first team players got their first dose of the COVID vaccine today at Mercedes-Benz. So,
well, that's awesome.
And I know that Mercedes-Benz is one of the mass vaccine sites in the city. So,
That's where I've been seeing a lot of people posting there.
Yeah.
Posting all of their private information to the internet from Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. So, I don't know what that means though. Like, is that good or bad for where we are distributing the vaccine if the athletes are getting it now? But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I wonder if they're going to have similar, like, kind of laxed rules for, or guidelines for vaccinated players, the way the NBA is going to. I think
what do you mean?
Said that. So like in the NBA, if you are not like immediately cooling off, I think away from all of your bench, you have to be wearing a mask on the bench. Even if you just ran even if you just played like a solid, like 10 minutes of a quarter and you go and you sit down, you have to have a mask on immediately. But I think they're going to relax that. So if that you're vaccinated, I'm pretty sure that's what I read. If you're vaccinated,
I would think, it would make sense considering CDC came out and said that if you have multiple people that are vaccinated, you can congregate without a mask. So I don't know why it'd be different under that setting, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know. Especially, I don't know. Those guys are huge. Maybe they breathe more. Maybe they have more viral load than the average human because they're 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. I don't know, but that's exciting. So we have a potential, I think, a third center back, right? I think that's the thinking, right? That we're going to be shifting to a 3-4-3 under Heinz. So we're going to be putting Miles Robinson, Alan Franco, and I think Ronald Hernandez in the backfield. Or Anton Walks.
I was going to say, you're going to say Walks out altogether?
I don't know, though. It depends on
how much. Just scored Walks a goal, man. Give him a chance.
I don't know how much he's endeared himself to Heinze at this point. I don't know, because Heinze doesn't talk to the media. So, So we'll see. It's just hard, I think, for a new coach coming in. Bringing in as many players as he has so far, it's been a big influx. And I think it's going to be hard for the old guard to have a lock on a lot of the positions. Obviously, like Joseph's a lock. Marcelino Moreno's a lock.
Guzan's a lock.
Barco's a lock. Guzan's a lock. And Miles Robinson is a lock.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like the rest of what is that? Is that six? So the rest of the other five are probably up for grabs in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I think we'll see some familiar faces rotating in and out, but
no, for sure. Mikey Ambrose,
George Bellow.
Oh, sorry, Bellow's a lock. Sorry.
Yeah, but it depends on if you go to a three back. Do you?
I think about how scary he's going to be as a left wing back in a, or whatever that is. Is it probably a 3-5-2 or would you just have Barco and Joseph up front? Or would you do a 3-4-3, put maybe Santiago Sosa and Ibarra in the middle and then having wing backs or I don't know, wingers on the side and Brooks Lennon and George Bellow. I have no idea what this lineup looks like for the season opener down in Orlando.
Yeah. Me neither. And I know I'm hoping I can get my cable situation sorted out so I can actually see what it's going to look like when it happens, because this Sinclair, did you see that they're switching the name of Fox Sports Southeast, speaking of which is completely irrelevant.
Yeah, what is it called?
Talking point.
It's something called like Yabba Dabba Doo or something.
Yeah,
I think it's Bally Sports.
So ridiculous.
I think his name is Bally or Bally. Bally Sports or something like that. Yeah. Just trying to like probably cleanse the palate of the name Sinclair or Fox Sports. Gotta
Gotta be.
There has to be some sort of equitable, I don't know, end or like hopefully some sort of agreement between them and the major streaming providers now.
Yeah.
Andy Watkins, don't you dare, or don't you say that name. Bally Sports or Sinclair? I don't know which one. Yeah. So Brian said, did they say how many people they're letting into the bench for the first few games?
I don't believe anything
has come. We were talking about that whenever we started. We got that anonymous. It wasn't anonymous, but we got that really small survey, and it was very nondescriptive about how many people are going to be in the stadium. It was like kind of vaguely talking about limited capacity and social distancing and that sort of thing. So I have no idea. It'd be hard to tell. Stephen Perales asked a good question. Would they still have to quarantine if they make it deep into the CCL?
So I was seeing something. I just pulled up an article earlier today about it was about Open Cup, that they were changing some of the rules around Open Cup for this year. CCL, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. The one thing I know for sure is that anything involving MLS teams or U.S. soccer in general is going to have as little information for the public as possible.
Yeah.
At least for like the general viewing public is not going to get super deep into it.
Yeah.
If that information even exists, I don't know if it does.
I don't either.
I think they've been very non-committal. I mean, how long ago did they, like maybe a month out, they announced the season opener? Like that's not super forthcoming.
And the fact that they haven't even sent out season ticket packages is crazy to me. Like opt in, opt out, whatever you want to do. The fact that they haven't sent anything as far as like your typical membership cards and everything else. I mean, maybe they're just trying to save the money because they sent them out last year and got one game out of it, which is crazy. Remember, we were all freaking out last year about what it was going to be like to be mobile ticket only. And we still don't even know if that's going to work because we haven't even tested that whole theory about how our mobile season tickets are going to work exclusively without the cards because we went a whole season without having to.
Yeah. And then DeBurton Boise brings up a good point too that we haven't talked about with this whole thing too, is essentially kind of is a lottery system, right? Because you have 30,000+ probably season ticket holders, whatever the capacity is, let's say 10% of, let's say they open up the third level, right? And they do 10% of, that's still only like 7,000 people. Yeah. And he's saying, how long before you know you're selected to go to the game for a limited capacity game? It's a lottery system. I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea.
And that's the other thing too, is it's like, even if you opt in and then you're committed to not having set plans, you can find out that you're not doing something that weekend whenever you were planning to.
I'm not sure that they know. That's the thing.
Yeah. I don't think anybody knows. I'd be interested to hear. I don't know if we've got anybody in the trap right now from any of the supporters groups. I wish Dober was in here. He can maybe enlighten us a little bit about what the discussions have been from the SGs on what they're going to do for, you know, any sort of tailgating or anything like that. You know, that'll probably be the next question up, is what do they do on that side of things? If they're going to have any attendance, what are they doing on the outside of the stadium? So Andy said, they said 3 weeks before rolling. So I guess 3 weeks away from the date, they'll let you know if you're selected or not. I think that's what he means.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea either, because we're we're not less than 3 weeks away, because it's the 20.
Yeah, it's the end of 25th. April.
5th? I think it's the 25th or the 24th. It's going to be the first game at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's going to Orlando, though? That's what I want to know, because sure.
One, two, three, I'm not sure. It.
Yeah, surely they're going to have the whole stadium open, right?
They only have people there anyway.
Yeah, because I was going to say UFC at I think it's ViStar Arena in Jacksonville for UFC 261, which is next month, I believe. They sold out. They're going full capacity, sold out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Dana White was like, Texas opened up, Florida opened up. All right, we're going and we're doing events there. Yeah. We're going to open up the whole thing and, you know, just make sure they have good liability insurance. I don't know. So good lawyers to write up waivers.
One of the things we didn't talk about last week, I'm trying to think of all the stuff that we haven't talked about. I mean, we've talked about behind closed doors. What are your thoughts on the new kit? New season coming up, new kit, who dis? MLS posted a post on Instagram earlier today, which I saw showing all the new kits and stuff like that. Obviously,
Atlanta what's United your favorite? The Zulily, the Jimi Hendrix kit?
No, I'm very jealous of Austin's sponsor. Like, their kit sponsor is one of my favorites. Like, there's a few in MLS that Yeti.
Oh, so, that is pretty great.
Yeah, it's just a fun kit sponsor. There's a few kit sponsors that I'm like, oh man, that'd be so cool. So of the kits that I've seen, I really like Dallas's home kit. It's got like a taper. Can you pull up this post? There you go. I can
show it. Where I go to MLSsoccer.com.
I can show it on the screen. There you go.
I could just actually pull it up.
Can you see me sharing my screen? Tim, I'm sharing my screen. Is this how screen share works?
Oh, gosh.
Do you see it?
No, 100%. It's 2021. Absolutely.
I like Dallas's home kit. How cool is that?
Hold on.
With the little gradient?
Major League Soccer. Is it a thread?
It's on their Instagram. They made an Instagram post.
Oh, gotcha.
I like Red Bull's all black kit. That lightning bolt Philly kit is so fun.
All right, I was not prepared for this.
I don't like this. Really. There's some really good ones though, man. I mean, it's one of those things that I think that – so personally, I think having seen all the other ones, I think for Atlanta United, I think they're middle of the road for me. Like, I don't hate it as much as I did at first glance, but I don't love it as – like, there's certainly been some other Atlanta – so that's very small, Tim.
But why?
I don't know.
It's because Can you control plus? There we go. Right.
That's control plus? Enhance. Can you enhance?
Tick, 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 tick. Enhance.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's perfect.
All right. Atlanta United. I think that was the one that you talked about to begin with, asking me my opinion. And if you would have asked me whenever the leak came out, I hated it. But now I don't mind it so much. I think when it's all dressed up with the patches, with the sponsor, I think everything, it looks pretty solid. It's boring. But boring doesn't mean bad, in my opinion.
One of the things I've seen it back and forth. Do they have the stripes on the back, on the bottom, or no?
That's
one of the things that I've seen a couple of ways. I don't like it if it has the little strips, the stripes on the bottom, like what the last home kit did. I hated that so much. But anyway, all right, let's scroll through. Let's see what else we got.
So the Yeti ones are good, if not uninspired. They have it's our kit designer. Whoever works at Adidas, it's the same one that does Atlanta United, and they're like, let's just switch up the colors. We'll do their first season, first two seasons kit.
What I like about Austin's kit is all of the details that don't show up like at first glance. So they have a really cool little collar inlay on their white kit inside the collar that has like a bunch of little icons of stuff from the city, which is really, really neat. You're not going to see it in that post. I just happened to see it whenever they announced it or whatever. But just like, you know, last year's gold kit for Atlanta United had the little details and stuff like that on it too.
I really like that Chicago away kit.
Yeah.
Even though it seems like a Sporting KC kit, I still think it's pretty. I like the really tight stripes and then the star. It took me a second to even see the stars, but seeing the stars going up and down.
So Steven Perella says the ones from the kit release do. I'm assuming they have the stripes on the back. That's a bummer for me because that'll keep me from getting it, or I'll just have to get a replica, like because the replicas don't have that, I believe.
Andy Watkins with a good shout out. He said, wait for the level of letdown when we get our third kit. All these people are going to be so mad when it doesn't end up being an outcast themed kit.
All right. Can you zoom out? Because they've got all of them. I want to look at all of them because there's some bangers in here.
Gonna open up the DMs real quick.
Oh boy.
On accident.
A lot of wood.
Right. Yeah, lots of wood in those
DMs. Lots of wood in Tim's DMs, boys.
Well, I'll tell you what. Okay. I like Cincy's. The home kit's unchanged, right? And then the away kit's pretty solid. Like they have the little detail kind of hidden. Okay. Colorado fine. With the little Celtic vibe on the on the away kit.
It's fine. It's not great.
But I kind of like the Henley style. You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I can't remember the last time I saw a Henley kit, if ever.
No.
Polos are one thing, but see, that's so what I find kind of strange. I understand the need, the want to change it up, but why would you have one V-neck and one essentially crew neck? I mean, it's a little tapered, but a crew neck and a V-neck, and then having a Henley and a V-neck.
You at least want to have a consistent like silhouette almost. And
but what is the hidden optical illusion? It's not even hidden in the Columbus away kit.
To me, it looks like a skyline. Like it looks like a half-tone skyline.
Come to Columbus, CR one building, which we repeated 15 times on the same jersey. I can't remember if that's from. Isn't that from the Book of? Is that from the Book of Mormon? It might have been Cleveland. Come to Cleveland, see our one building or one size skyscraper or something.
Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that this is also going to be audio, so the people are going to really hate this whole discussion.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so we should probably go a little faster.
Sorry. Okay, I'll keep going. I kind of like that digital. Like, I like the way that Columbus home kit was. That the home kit last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. I just didn't see this is how much I pay attention. I think that
Dallas home kit is my favorite.
That Dallas home kit is chef's
that
kiss.
That one and the Philly away kits are probably my two favorites.
I like that. I like the away kit for Houston. What do you think of their that's a new logo this year, right?
Yeah, I think they have a new kit sponsor, and a new logo. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I kind of like that LA Galaxy away too.
Yeah. It's a weird colors.
It is.
Miami. Okay. Doesn't very look any different than last year, really.
Yeah.
Just no pink on the black. Yeah. Or you just can't
very
really see
uninspiring.
It.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who's next? Montreal's home kit.
They got a new logo too, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of clubs that got new logos this year. I didn't realize so many had rebranding.
Yeah. Okay. That away kit from Nashville is different, right? See, this is like showing my ignorance of MLS kits because I'm like, which one of the teams?
I feel like last year was such a blur, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair too. Yeah. And with the whole broadcast rights stuff, it's like, who did we really get to watch?
Yeah.
No, I like that. The Nashville away kit's nice.
Oh, I love that black Red Bull kit.
Yeah, I like it too, unfortunately. I don't like the New England one. New York NYCFC is not great.
Oh my god, I love that Philly away kit so much.
Yeah, we could skip Orlando.
It's so good.
I love that they have a different shirt sponsor. It's like one is
I love it so much, dude. One is
Bimbo Proper, and the other one's Sara Lee Artisano bread.
Oh my god, it's so great.
It's like we have that's pretty great. Yeah.
I hate that new home Portland kit so much.
Why? Because the baseball jersey down the middle?
It looks so bad.
Oh, I thought I was drinking spicy water. That's definitely root beer. it was a rude awakening.
I think that home Portland kit might be the worst one this year.
Or best one. I think that's going to be a pretty polarizing kit because I think it's so
bad.
But I think it's so contrary to everything else you see.
Yeah.
That it's like it might cause like a rebellious streak in people's
it's so bad expertise. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like that whole theory about pop music in the top 40s is like the reason that there's so high rankings because the radio plays them all the time and it just breaks down your mind into enjoying.
It's just Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay. That RSL home kit is pretty sick. It's got some really weird wavy patterns going in it. It's got, I like their colors too. It's a good kit. Yeah, this is a bad audio episode. I'm sorry, guys. If you guys want to follow along with us, go to Major League Soccer's Instagram account, open up the post.
Or you want to know the solution? You can go over to YouTube.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Hit the bell icon and get a notification whenever we go live, like everybody else in the trap. And you'll be along for the ride. It's way more funner live.
Yeah.
Or on YouTube.
Hit the formerly known as the Bell Holcomb icon.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been here.
Do we have a, what's our YouTube link? Is it just youtube.com/homebeforedark?
Home Before Dark. It's like the only one that we have. Andy Watkins.
YouTube.com/homebeforedark.
Yep.
Easy peasy.
No letters or no numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried to get the website. We tried to get homebeforedark.com, but there's a guy who bought it and he doesn't use it, doesn't host it, but just for brevity's sake, keeps it. I think that's the right term. I don't know. It's a sentimentality thing and he won't sell it to us. We've offered him money. We've offered him the big bucks, guys.
Yeah. A whopping $15.
Yeah. But we also offer him a couple international slots.
We did. We had some tan.
25. Yeah, 2,500 in future GAM for the 2024 season. So this is the one. So you have the Atlanta United kit, which among our fan bases has been kind of controversial. Though I think a lot of people like Steven Perales had the same, and like me, and I think you too, right? Like, yeah, had the same reaction.
I've definitely come around to it. I'm not on board with the backstripes, but I've come around to the kit in general.
It's like, hate it before it went to the kit release and got into the hype and bought it. I haven't bought it yet, but I can see myself probably owning one once that stimmy hits. no, but the Jimi Hendrix kit caused a huge stir last week on Twitter. The Seattle Sounders away kit. I don't know. First of all, nothing against Zulily, but their logo just does not look good on a jersey.
No, it definitely doesn't. And the color palette on it is so, I don't know why. It's just so all over the place. Like, they've got their Seattle green, it looks like. But then the orange stripes on the top seem so out of place to me. I don't know.
Is this like a third kit? Like, this screams third kit, but it's their... It's like, we want to go a little bolder than we did for the way it last year.
I am all for this trend that seems to be coming around in MLS this season in particular, where I feel like this is the largest variety we've seen in patterns on kits, at least in recent memory to me, across the board. Like, of the, 34 kits or 34 teams that we have, I'd say half of them probably – have some sort of a unique or different pattern or color palette or organization to them, which I hadn't noticed in the past, at least enough to like make you do a double take, good or bad. So I'm all for that. You know, I'd love to see less of the same in between teams where it's just different colors and different patches on the chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think there are that many teams, though. I think.
What? How many did I say? 34?
Yeah, I think we only have 20.
Oh, no. They're planning to go to 34. That's right.
Yeah, I think that's the cap. Brian says, I think that San Jose kits are pretty clean. He's saying that San Jose shirt looks like a game that's only 40% loaded.
It's because of the loading bars on it. No, that's their life bar. As you score against them, as you score against San Jose, the bars go down.
Okay. I think I have a new favorite. That's San Jose, or the Sporting KC shirt.
I like both of theirs, home. Yeah.
The home, I think, is super clean. Yeah.
It just slimming, but they also have a pretty good, they have a really good. Logo or kit sponsor as well.
This reeks of QPR, Queens Park Rangers, which their Sporting KC's USL club or their farm team is Swope Park Rangers. I'm guessing it's all based off of QPR, but
did you see that speaking of farm teams and different teams, did you see that Stephen Glass got is switching out to Aberdeen?
Yeah, which is great. Which makes more sense why he was unseated at Atlanta United too, took the interim job knowing he wasn't going to keep it.
Right.
The team had to do something for him to say thank you. And he did a decent enough job last year. Like, commendable job, I should say, given the
all things considered. I mean, that was that was a very tough position to be in that I don't know anybody could have done successfully, to be quite honest. Yeah.
If you told me that the two Canadian teams didn't change their kits, wouldn't have known, because they look the same to me. They don't look very different than last year. Maybe some of the patterns change, but and I think the sponsor maybe changed for Vancouver, but I think BMO's been Toronto's sponsor
for a while.
Anyway,
so and Atlanta United's kit sponsor is up for renewal after this year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That sounds correct. Yeah.
Or was that just hearsay? Atlanta United kit sponsor terms. What should I search there? Doesn't really say here.
I don't know.
For some reason, I had always had that in my mind that the kit sponsor was just for 5 years and that it could be renewed.
That sounds right. Elliot Beaven's asking, what is the worst shirt? Because he's late to the show. It depends. If it's worse, it might be worst and it might be best. The Portland home kit. And it looks like baseball stitching up the middle of it.
It's so
two colors.
It's
so good, though.
It's so bad.
So good. I just,
it's like a corset.
A contrarian.
It's a corset.
What if it did lace up in the middle? Like, what if the
laces
guys
up in the back? Like, you had to lace it up in the back? Like, you're in the locker room?
Rui Diaz, can you zip me up? Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of Seattle, not Rui Diaz. Like, Blanco. Chara, can you lace me up? Up my back. Steve, what are your thoughts on this? I think we've talked about this before. Steven Perales saying it would be cool to have the Coca-Cola logo on the front, an Atlanta-based company.
I'd love it, but I don't see it happening. I don't think there's enough money in it or enough. Coke doesn't need it. You know, it's going to be a company that wants it, you know? So I guess like there's plenty of other Atlanta-based companies that aren't as big as Coke that could be viable options, you know.
What about Zep on the front of it? Zep would be a pretty great sponsor. Just cleaning up the league. Just cleaning up in the standings. No?
I don't know who it would
be good. But it would clash.
Yeah, but again, that's another big one, you know? And that seems to muddy the waters too with Arthur Blank. Like, why would he put a kit sponsor for a company that he already owns? Like, he's spending money on his team already. Why would he do this? Yeah. That seems stupid. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, Zaxby's, I can fuck with some Zaxby's, man.
That's true. Zaxby's is Statesboro, right? It's based in Statesboro.
Yeah.
Is where it was first.
That is not a bad idea. Zaxby's, I think, could be the perfect middle ground where they're not everywhere. Like, the fact that Target is a kit sponsor is surprising to me, considering how big of a brand and company as they are.
But they're very – oh, that's one – I didn't see Minnesota in the kit post. Did I miss them?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I saw them either, actually, now that you're saying it.
Oh. But they are so ingrained in Minnesota and Minneapolis that I think it's like one of those things where they – them and Best Buy and
– same thing with like Xbox with Seattle, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Whenever they were the sponsor.
Couple votes. Carl Seggy and Elliot Beaven both saying the Varsity.
Or Waffle House. That'd be pretty awesome.
Dude, a Waho kit?
Or what about Moe's? Moe's is going through a rebranding.
No, Willie's.
Willie's. They both started here.
No, I know, but Willie's is so much better than Moe's.
But have you seen the new Moe's logo?
The new Moe's logo is great, and I would actually adopt those colors because I really like the color blocks. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to think about that.
No,
Moe's wouldn't be a bad bet. Moe's isn't a bad, I don't think that's a bad bet. Like, because you've got to find the right size company that's going to get something out of a kit sponsorship, right? Like, I think that the Deltas and Chick-fil-A's and the Coca-Cola and Home Depot, I think they're all too big of franchises and they're too far spread out. Like, Zaxby's is still a pretty regional based chain that's still expanding. I think Ryan, there's enough opportunity. Swim. Huh? Brian, ooh, Adult Swim would be amazing. Oh yeah. My God, that'd be great.
Run I the Jewels. That. Just RTJ. Just, just on the kit. Just
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, that'd be great.
Adult Swim would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, but Willie's is better than Moe's. Huey Magoo's is better than Zaxby's.
Look, man. I'm trying to get viable options here.
No, I know. I'm just
messing. I think Willie's is better for our food. No, Moe's, absolutely.
Moe's is a much larger corporation.
Focus and they brand. Need the help going because they, I mean, they're in a competitive market with the Chipotle's and Willie's and everything else, you know. And they have,
I'm trying to think like that burrito.
And they have the perception
like
of being bottom of the barrel. And they have the Moe's deal with Atlanta United already anyway, right?
Oh,
like
that's
score.
Fair. That's a good call.
I think it might be Moe's, Tim. Do you guys hear that Moe's is going to be the new kit sponsor for Atlanta United?
Sources say. Great. Now I'm going to have Percy in our DMs asking us where our sources are from.
If you are coming to this show looking for facts, you have come to the wrong place.
Oh, Pizza Hut is a sponsor, albeit has nothing to do with Atlanta. I could get behind.
Or Little Caesars.
Yeah, I can get. I was talking to my parents about Detroit-style pizza the other night. My parents were like, oh, you mean Domino's? I was like, no, Little Caesars. They're like, well, Domino's own the Detroit Tigers. They're from Detroit. And then I went and looked and like, no, it was Little Caesars. It was the dad from Little Caesars that owned it. And then he passed it on to his son. But they bought it from Domino's. So it's like the Detroit pizza chains have owned the Detroit Tigers for like the last 30 or 40 years, 50 years, something like that.
Insane. Have you seen one bite, everybody this knows new the DiGiorno pizza that has like
the croissant
crust?
Pizza?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad you know what I'm talking about because I can't wait to get one. Have you had one yet?
No, I haven't.
I can't wait. If it's good or if it's at least close, I might just buy a couple tubes of croissant dough and just make my own. Just put it in the oven, just roll out a giant croissant like a pizza crust and load it up.
Roll out, make your own croissants, but using pierogi dough.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. And instead of butter in between each layer, sour cream.
Nothing worse than hot sour cream, dude.
The bottom of the bottom
it's
of
the bottom of a grilled stuff burrito.
Burrito.
Exactly.
Yeah. <It's>, pretty bad. Pretty bad. I think maybe that's our first post-Bax meal.
What?
DiGiorno croissant pizza.
Yeah, it's pretty. Why has it got to be post-Vax? Do you think it's going to do you in?
No, it's about you and us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm saying you and Angie, like, we can't have that until after the vaccine. Like, no, we don't know what's in that, man.
Oh, I have no idea what's in that. Kendrick Rock popping in, saying Kevin's on the next level when it comes to food.
That's all I do.
It's very true. I got a whole pan of Rice Krispie treats waiting for me when we get
done. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we got for Atlanta United? So CCL starts April 6th. So it'll be next week. May or may not have a recording beforehand. So next Tuesday, what are you expecting to see out of that first game, Tim?
More pressing. I think that's the one thing that I was impressed by.
Gross.
In the little bits that I've been able to watch of the Heinze match Heinze coached matches has been just our relentlessness in getting the ball, getting on offense, just pushing and pushing and pushing. It's going to make for good vibes. I think that Andres Castro was saying earlier, said, I don't know about you guys, but it's feeling the same. I think what he was trying to say is he's feeling the same as he did in 2017 in terms of where the team is right now. At least that's what I gathered from that, which yeah. I'm starting to have the same kind of feeling about.
I mean, Barco certainly seems in his best run of form that we've seen him in. Like, if he plays like, and again, this is understandably against lower level competition and preseason games, which you don't put too much stock into, but he's got a new haircut. It's his birthday today. Got a new hair color. Speaking of hair, what do you think about the samurai bun from Joseph? I mean, that's everything. Big news. It's
big news. Big news. Yeah.
You got a
big
whole new true. Look.
Big if true. Yeah. It's if he's going to keep it too. It'd be interesting. It seemed to be pretty polarizing whenever I posted that on Twitter. I was very into it. His samurai ponytail is everything. And people are like,
does he change his celebration?
Is it?
Like whenever he gets down on the knee, does he come up with the swords?
That'd be very unhonorable or dishonorable for the samurai. I'm pretty sure from playing Bushido Blade that's very against code. Like going for those one hit kills. If you're not going for like actually battling people and you're just, yeah, because you could go through that entire game and just slash people and kill them in one hit, but you would have zero honor. It'd be like the complete worst way of going about it. We're not at home, right?
No, I don't think so. But again, I'm very uninformed. But yeah, so. In what little bit I've seen,
going down to Costa Rica,
which is just really from highlights, you know, I think that Barco is in his best run of form that we've seen him probably since he started, quite honestly. And he's healthy, which is good. And I can't wait to see him playing up top in whatever formation with Joseph or however they put him in there. You know, another player that has come up in the highlights the past two matches is Machop. I'm going to say Machop. I know it's Machope, but I refuse to call him anything other than Machop. I'm sorry. And shout out to our friends over at For the Culture with their amazing kit design with Machop on Machope's number, which was so fucking cool. But yeah, he's popped up a good bit in some of the highlights. So I'm really excited to see how he pans out and what his role will be. I don't know that he's getting a starting position per se, but as the season wears on, I think he could be somebody to look out for just based on what I've seen in some of the highlights anyway. So
I'm trying to pull up that kit right now so I could show everybody. Just kind of scrolling through for the Culture's feed.
I think it might be in our, it'll probably be in a lot of media. They tagged us in it, so it'll probably be easier to get our notifications. So
no, I got it. Hold on. For those of you and for those of you listening, go follow For the Culture on all your podcast platforms.
Oh, so that's where I saw the back flap at. So it is confirmed.
Okay. Yeah, at FTC UTD. But that
it's pretty awesome.
And the Pokeball inside that number three is that's very sick. Great. Yeah,
pretty great.
I think he's already evolved, though. That's the thing.
We'll see. He's got to play against regular competition for him to evolve, I think. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's fair. And then we have to trade him for him to become a Machamp.
No, we have to win the cup for him to be the Machamp.
No, but if it's like the old game, you have to trade him to another team and then have them put a buyback clause in it. And then...
Well, they've got to have the right version. That's the tricky thing. So we have to train him to another league, technically.
No, he was available in both games. He wasn't like Sandshrew. He wasn't like Sandshrew. Yeah. Where he's only available.
What was the other one? It was Sandshrew, and then there was another one that was.
So
like...
I think Caterpie and Weedle were split between the games, if I'm not mistaken.
Blue and green Pokemon.
It's exclusive. Blue and red.
Red, oh yeah, blue and red. Why did I say green? I'm so stupid.
There was a green version that came out after whenever they re-released whatever it was, Fire Red, and there was Leaf Green, and
there was way more exclusive in Red and Blue that I was unaware of.
Clefairy.
Electabuzz and Magmar were the two big ones, and Scyther and Pinsir.
Yes. Clefairy and Wigglypuff were two of them too, right?
No, they were not.
I thought they were.
It was Ekans and Sandshrew, Arbok and Sandslash. That's the same. Those are the evolutions.
Meowth.
Oddish and Bellsprout. Mankey and Meowth. Growlithe.
Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee, right? Or no? No, you get to choose either of them. Never mind.
No, yeah, you chose those. Yeah, so, there was way more than I thought there was, so.
Yeah, and there were only a handful that evolved whenever you traded them.
Yeah. I'm one of the few people that's still playing Pokemon Go, and they actually introduced, because now they have trading and stuff like that, they actually carried over that where you have to trade.
So like Graveler was one. I'm trying to think of who all they were. Graveler.
Let me see.
Goldeen.
Pokemon.
Poliwhirl. Turned into Poliwrath, Machoke turned into Machamp,
Kadabra, Machoke, Graveler, Haunter, and then the rest of them were later on. So, oh no, that's Pokemon Go. I'm sorry. And I think you had to have them with an item whenever you traded them.
Not all of them.
Oh really?
Yeah, no, there were some. It was just a straight up trade.
No, but whatever they
actually, you couldn't even assign items. I don't think have Pokemon holding items in the original.
Whatever they had, Steelix and Scizor and all that.
Yeah, no, that was exactly. I'm trying to think of who all the other ones were.
Oh my god,
there were only a handful of them. But then you had all the Stone evolutions too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carl Seggy saying came for the soccer, stayed for the Pokemon. But I'm glad. I'm glad you're still here. We missed you, buddy.
I can't believe I said red and green. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I should boot you. Mm-hmm. I should permaban. Oh, can we get a vote in the trap? Should I permaban, Kevin?
Yeah, right. I'll go ahead and put my vote in there for yes. Sounds good. Yeah.
Favorite Pokemon?
Mine?
Yeah. Cubone. You mean Marowak?
No, Cubone.
Favorite one to play with in the game?
In the game?
Yeah, in the role-playing game. Not in Pokemon Go, not in the card game or whatever.
I mean, I loved my Marowak, man. He was awesome.
I know. He used to beat my ass.
That Boomerang, man. Comes back for double damage. You're like, I got through it. Psych! He's coming back around. I just always love the... So I always love the character design for Cubone.
Yeah, the helmet.
And he wasn't one of the like big guys that always got like all the attention and that everybody always liked. And then as far as like the bigger, quote unquote, bigger, like final evolutions, particularly in the first generation, Gengar was probably my favorite of the like final three evolution Pokemon.
Yeah. I think for me, it had to be Alakazam was absolute favorite, like his speed, and then you throw psychic in there, like he was kind of unstoppable in a lot of ways, except for fighting ghost Pokemon, right?
Did you hear about the Kadabra game card?
No.
So apparently the Japanese name for Kadabra was based off of some magician, like some illusionist that would bend spoons, right? And the Japanese name for Kadabra, whatever it was so similar to that guy's name that he actually had a lawsuit that he won against Nintendo, to where there was no Kadabra cards made after that original 151 up until like this year. And he just recently released the rights and was like, no, the fans need to have this in existence or whatever, but it just recently happened. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I had no idea about that. So,
huh. Interesting. Yeah. And then another shout out for Porygon Z.
Yeah.
That you could teach him whatever the fuck you want. I would roll up there with Signal Beam, Tri Attack, I think Psychic maybe, and then
you just roll up with six shelters with self destruct and have an official clan.
I'm not winning, but neither are you.
I'm taking this whole thing down with me.
You know what's so crazy is there were trainers in the game that did that. Like their whole thing was self-destructing with
it's crazy. LED all of the, I love that this has been the way this conversation has gone.
Hard not to. Dan's not here to corral us in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. When Dad's away, LAB even says Dragonite. That was a tough one to level up.
I always hated people. Character design. I thought that Dragonair and Dratini's character sprites and character designs looked way better than what Dragonite ended up looking like. I was like, why does this thing look so dopey? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Dragonite with Hyper Beam or Snorlax with Hyper Beam. Yeah. Mm. They're pretty great.
Gotta get that flute.
And Brian says Francis Ngannou. Did you happen to see the knockout on Saturday?
No, I heard about it. I haven't been able to check it out yet, though.
I would be very surprised if Stipe does not have ligament damage in his knee the way that he fell back. It was scary. It was very scary. I didn't even want to watch the replays. And it wasn't because it's like I like Stipe, and it's hard not to cheer for Francis Ngannou, but it's hard to watch a guy get hurt like that. Yeah. It's very serious stuff.
Ngannou is so massive, dude. I would not
want it's crazy. And I think he's learned how to fight now instead of just
hear Joe Rogan talk about him walking into the ring and like the whole thing, like it's like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. Like you just feel it. You feel the weight of him walking into the ring. This is ridiculous, man.
Yes.
Yes. So huge.
We're getting closer and closer to score predictions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we can go ahead and do that. So score predictions for first round of CCO. What are you thinking, Tim?
That's not until next Tuesday.
Yeah, but what else do we have until then?
Well, I guess you're right.
I'm not going to be here next Monday.
3-1 Atlanta.
I will say... Do we know anything about... Who are we playing in the first round?
Alajuelense. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Costa Rican team. Like we're going down to Costa Rica.
Alajuelense.
Brittany asks us 2-1 Atlanta. Brian says 3-2 to the good guys. I think we'll get back to attacking soccer and just start throttling teams. I think LAB is 1-1.
Trying to see what their record's been and how they've been playing in recent weeks. So over the past, let's just say over their past couple of games here, I don't see any losses going all the way back to, geez, you got to go back a ways just to find their last loss here. Oh my gosh. I don't know when their last loss was. It would have been like last year sometime since their last loss. So I know nothing about this team or what they're capable of doing, but just looking at their record, and I mean, I seriously don't see any losses going all the way back to August of last year. It's either a
November.
Draw or a win.
They had a loss in November to St. Carlos.
So again, and standings isn't loading for me right now, so I can't see where they are in their table, but I'm going to say 3-1 Atlanta loss to Alajuelense. I just don't know, what to expect out of this.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm throwing shit at the wall.
Yeah. So I'll say 3-1 Alajuelense. God, I wish I could say that.
Alajuelense.
3-1 to the bad guys, we'll just say. I think Atlanta is going to take an L in true Atlanta United fashion, first game of the season, but they'll come out with a win in the first game that matters against Orlando.
Okay. Carl Segui says 2-2, Richard Gordon 3-1, Atlanta. I like most of these scores. I'm even good with a 2-2 or a 1-1 because that means
a draw is always good. Yeah, especially with it being away. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because we can come back. Not to say the Kennesaw is a fortress, but yes, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, this was fun. I'm glad we were able to get together and get something out there in true Home Before Dark fashion as we bounced around talking about croissant pizzas. And
Kendrick says 3-1 to the other team, too.
Yeah.
Look at that. Carl's right. We just need an away goal. That's all we need. Just
need one. Yeah, exactly. Man, even if it's a 2-1, I'll take that.
Isn't that what happened to Herediano, right? It was we lost, 4-1?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, love you. Thanks for doing this. Thanks to everybody in the trap for coming and hanging out with us. You can find us both online. Tim, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Tim Herb on Instagrams if you just want to look at woodworking. That's all I post on there.
Find me as well at The Architect. That's at The _ ARC, TECT, collectively at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Be sure to go give Dan James some love. You can find him on Twitter and I believe Instagram at DNJMS. And we'll see you next week or the week after, whatever it is. You want to know when we're going live or how we're doing it, follow us wherever you can find us at Twitter, Instagram, if you found us on iTunes or YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Leave 5 stars and a review to hear it read aloud on the show. For those of you listening, you want to watch it live, go over to youtube.com/homebeforedark. Hit that subscribe and bell icon to know whenever we go live each and every time. And until next week or next time, as always, be home before dark.
Bye, guys.